sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. We are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. So we invite you to join us. Why? Because sex matters. Period. Hey, you guys, this is Judy. I just want to throw a little note out there before we dive in. Patricia and I recorded this a while back before the coronavirus was a thing, as you might expect, but it feels a little weird to just toss it out there without sort of acknowledging that. It's been a really fascinating week, as I'm sure it has for many of you, depending on where you are and where you are listening, if you are under actual sort of lockdown in your house or if it's just a suggestion, probably a very good one for a lot of reasons. So I just wanted to acknowledge that before we hop in. See you at the end.
Pet names.
Yeah.
This should be interesting.
Yeah. Well, Judy, do you have any pet names? Okay. I really like pet names. I give pet names to a lot of things. So, you know, some people give pet names to their privates. Some people give pet names to their lovers. Some people really lament over when is the right time you can create a pet name or what constitutes a pet name. You know, if you're dating someone, when's the right time to come out with a pet name? Or do you just stick with babe and hun? Or are they degrading? Is that not a pet name? Is that just a word to say? So this is a really fascinating topic for me. This is more personal to me than really like sexpert or sexologist coming out at this time. But I was just kind of curious. Do you partake in the pet name Rubik's Cube?
I am so intrigued right now because of just all of the things that you have called about why we're talking about this. I have thought of individually, but never as a package. So it's like, wow, this is a much more robust subject than I have really thought about in one point of time in my head.
Well,
I love that.
This is what I do, though.
I know. It's great. It's great. No, I love it. It's why we're here. It's beautiful. Putting together my philosophy degree along with this. It's great. Okay, so to answer your question, not really. And I have a few thoughts on that. I don't mind pet names if they feel organic, if they feel natural, they come about naturally. I appreciate them when they feel good and respectful. I think when I have seen so many people use pet names on people, sometimes they have felt more demeaning or to make fun of. And I appreciate the more enduring, and I'm sure it comes from my background of more of the made fun of world that I grew up in my school and a little bit in my family, but we didn't really do so much with nicknames and pet names in my family as the way we talk to people. And my parents didn't really use them. So I don't typically use hun, babe, but I do have things that I will call particular people that are very typically unique to that person. And I think if I had a Southern accent,
a Southern accent makes it okay.
I would totally call people different things with a Southern accent because it just sounds so much better. But I do have a couple people that I will use.
Southern accent, that's cracking me up. So if you had a Southern draw, you would be so much more inclined to use.
I would use the word hun a lot more. Yes, exactly. Well, here's a theory that I have. If people would argue with each other in a British accent, we would have much calmer arguments.
Oh my God.
I always thought if I ever had a partner who was like playful like that, it would be kind of fun because
wow.
Arguing sounds so much better in an English accent. And it seems like people remain more calm. Now, that I do not know anything about stuff going on in the UK, so that is just my little theory and imagination in my head that's probably totally bullshit. I'm sure it is, but it sounds good. and so, okay, but pet names for private parts, I've never found one I felt comfortable with. And I'm not opposed to it. I just, again, it needs to feel respectful and not childish. I think too, there was one thing I never wanted to be when I was a child, and that was a child. So anything that would bring me back to childish or sound childish, I didn't like. And I've never heard great pet names for people's private parts that sounded like sexually exciting rather than ew.
I always like when it's like when a guy refers to their cock as like that's Little John or that's Goliath or that, you know. I mean, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's really, really great and makes me laugh. But then other, you know, like my pet name, and I'm going to be pretty open right now. My pet name for my crotch is Lola, and whatever Lola wants, Lola gets.
Okay.
And
I like that.
I break into song quite regularly.
La, 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 Lola.
Yeah, whatever Lola wants, Lola gets. And little man, little Lola wants you. You know, it's kind of like, it's a very seductive song.
Okay. So. See, now that does not bother me. That I can dig. So there you go. All right. You've come up with one that sounds fun and sensual and sexual and sexually exciting rather than childish.
Yeah.
If somebody refers to it in conversation, to me, there's also the difference in conversation when you're talking about it and you're sitting at a dinner table versus if you're trying to allure
sitting at the dinner table talking about your pet. Ball names that's pretty classy right there. I don't know. I might just be under the table sucking on it before it, you know, like turn me on big time while we're eating macaroni and cheese or something.
Well, it depends on who you're at the dinner table with, but yes.
I'm sure.
Yes. But I don't like if I'm having a conversation with a female or whatever, and she calls it her coochie or vajayjay or whatever.
Yeah.
That's fine. But some of the names that some of the guys have called I'm trying to think of some specific that I was just like, oh, can we not talk about that when we're naked? Can we use a different word? Cause it's just a turn off. And
the names that they use for female,
for their own. Yeah. Okay. And cunt in a sensual sex does not work for me.
It was a very, very used and actually, it wasn't really meant to be a derogatory term until we made it that way a long, long time ago. It was a word just like any other word.
Right.
Back in, gosh, the streets of when prostitutes were in the streets of, what show am I thinking of? I'm thinking of, on Hulu, there's a show. What was it called? The Harlots.
Oh.
The Harlots. And that's all about two houses of prostitutes going like against each other and fighting over the streets of wherever they were living. And the word cunt was used regularly in conversation and it wasn't derogatory at all. It was just it's like saying vulva.
Mm-hmm.
To them, that's what it meant. It was just that area of their body. So again, it's how we interpret and how we make things have that good or bad denotation to them that sticks in our crawl. So,
and I think intent, right. And intent is so huge, right?
Yeah.
So I could probably be lured in with that word if it was used the right way.
They use it in a sentence that's really sexy.
Oh, wow.
Hot seat.
Yeah, no kidding, right? let's see. I'm trying to think of what might do it for me.
Just think about it.
Yes, it will. Yeah. Well, okay. So we did this exercise in one of my classes where we all had to go up to the board and we had to write names for masturbation, like other ways to describe masturbation for men and for women. Okay. And I don't remember if that was that we also put other names for the body parts.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. I was never...
Was that enlightening or was it...
What was enlightening about it? Well, it was to point out, and it successfully did, how violent the language is around using for masturbation and how many fewer euphemisms there are for women in masturbation than there are for men for masturbation.
Huh.
Yeah, I wish I could have taken a picture of the board, actually, because it was a very interesting thing to collect that information. So that was the point of it, but that brought out a lot of the discussions of what people use as ways that they refer to their, especially for men, but also for women. So yeah, I think it is time, place, and intention probably speaks to me, but I don't have my own names, but I'm open to that. Like in the right relationship and playfulness, most of the people that I've had as partners were not, that wasn't a thing to them, but it's kind of fun.
What about just nicknames between you and your partner? Like my ex-husband, I will never use this again with anybody else because now it makes my skin crawl. But it used to be that his name was Pookie. And if I ever used his real name, he knew he was in some serious trouble. So Pookie, I don't even know where it came from. And it just kind of stuck for a really, really, really long time. So like now with my husband now, it's like I use babe a lot or hun or, you know, they're just the more standard, just kind of like blanket ones. But you know what? I find the really, really cute ones are like, when they're parts of each other, like big spoon and little spoon.
Oh,
you know, something like that. So that makes me really smile and makes me really kind of think of the togetherness versus it just being a name. So like some people like use nicknames for everything. I don't use them for everything, but I do like to, words are important to me. So I do like to personalize things and create stories around stuff. So for me, having nicknames or creating a story around something is important. But sometimes I think that it can be, I don't understand why it's a hang up for some people to use terms of affection, like early in a relationship. Like when's the right time to start saying words of affection?
That's an interesting question. Do you think it is because the concern there is it sort of equates to a commitment?
Maybe. I mean, I kind of look at it as flirting though, don't you?
Yeah, I certainly could. I mean, I certainly can imagine dating somebody and on date number two or three, something weird happens or silly or endearing or something. And you call that out or you see that consistency, right? Like that's how sometimes nicknames get to be in place.
Yeah,
so right. You call them that. So that to me would not seem unusual. Like that's a connecting thing. And yeah, and it totally can be flirtatious.
Do you think it freaks some people out when somebody uses
I think it's that familiarity thing. Like some, you know, I had a person that I knew who she did not like people using her nickname if you were not very good friends with her.
Yeah.
It was kind of the she would call people out and that's
You don't have permission to use that.
Exactly. Huh. So it makes me think that
maybe boundaries, huh?
Yeah. It's the, I don't know. I can imagine if you were dating somebody, but you weren't really sure how this is going to go, that you might feel if they, that they, if they had a nickname for you and it was very personal, that it might almost seem too, what's the word I'm looking for? Too familiar. And yeah, that's where I'm going with the commitment thing. And I'm sure it's a little bit of history. What do nicknames mean to you?
Right. And what about the opposite? I mean, couldn't you use nicknames in an effort to disassociate or to make it not as personal?
I do think that's very true. I mean, some people use them derogatorily, right?
Yeah, right. But using someone's name is really personal.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, maybe to make it that they're, it's less of a person and more of an interaction or something.
Right.
I don't see it that way, but, you know, I could see where some people would.
Well, and I can, now that you're saying that, I can think of somebody that I know who, who dates many women, and they all, and that's probably the exact purpose. He has nicknames for all of them, and they're not always very nice. It's more of the, you are the person I sleep with. And so if I give you this nickname, that's kind of iffy. And I don't, honestly, now that I'm talking about this, I don't know if they know they have nicknames.
Well, that's the other thing. What are the nicknames that we say to our friends? You know, like, I was talking to somebody about, there was a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode or something about a woman who had nicknames for all of her lovers. Mm-hmm. And Larry, the main character or whatever, went off on a tangent when he found out about this. And he made her sign a disclosure that she would not have a nickname for his genitalia when she was talking to her friends. And I haven't actually seen the episode, but the concept to me was extremely funny. Like, it really struck a chord in me. Like, I'm thinking to myself, boy, when I talk to my girlfriends, what are the nicknames that I don't really do that. I don't really give nicknames, because to me, it's a personal thing. To me, if I give somebody a nickname or a term of endearment, that's my way of connecting with somebody at a special level. Mm-hmm. That means something to me, or I wouldn't use it. So I don't go around and talk to my girlfriend and say, hey, yeah, Larry Longballs did F, Y, and Z last night. And, you know,
right.
So it's not like, and that's not even necessarily to be derogatory. It just differentiates Larry Longballs from Larry Shortballs. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of Larrys in your life. I don't know.
Right. But in those cases, it feels like it can, and I'm not saying it has to be, but it sometimes can feel like you're saying it can feel disassociative and almost a little negative. And of course, that's the presentation of the way you present it. But when I think of people who kind of do that in their life, when they nickname people, there is a little bit of a dissociation, unless there clearly isn't. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That it is that way to sort of put them in a category. The nickname creates the category. So it does feel like you're sort of dehumanizing them a little bit. It can anyway.
Hmm.
So I guess, yeah, I'm thinking if I started naming people by genitals, you know, it it could be a very positive thing.
So it doesn't have to be by genitals.
No, I know that. I know, but I was just thinking that's one way that So
here's some ideas for ways to come up with. And this is the other thing. Now, this whole conversation became very interesting to me because of a conversation with my daughter. And she's seeing somebody and she wants to have a nickname for him, but she doesn't know what to call him. And she doesn't want it to be phony, and she doesn't want it to be this, and she doesn't want it to be that. And so I was giving her some suggestions. I was just like, well, how about this or how about that? And she's like, I can't have you making up the nickname for my lover. And I'm like, no, I understand, but I'm trying to give you some ideas, you know, like, get a little creative here, girl. You're my daughter. You have my creative genes somewhere in there. You can tap into this. So here's some ideas for coming up with an authentic, genuine, individual nickname for your partner. something that you can do something based on physical attributes, which I would highly suggest that it's a positive physical attribute if you want to stay together.
A good idea.
Yeah. How about one that describes perhaps a part of their personality? Mm. You know, if there's something like smiley or, you know, something like that, you know, can you think of something else? Horny.
Well, that for some that could work out really, yeah. really well. Well, right. Yeah, or, something, you know, if they're affectionate, mm-hmm. you know, I'm trying to think. See, I'm not good at this.
Cuddle bud.
Cuddle, yeah.
Yeah.
Cuddle pan.
Teddy bear, you know, something like that. You can modify their name by using a rhyme or shortening it or adding a suffix. So I don't know that I'd absolutely like this one either. This is really funny to kind of go through, because if a man just decided to take my name and shorten it, so Patricia, if that was cut down, they just started calling me Trish or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Trish is not a name that I associate myself with, and I certainly am not a Pat. Mm-hmm. And I used to be a Patty, but I don't recognize that anymore, because that's part of my old me. Now that's the old non-authentic, non-fully complete version of myself that I was very sad. You know, that's what I associate with that name. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't really appreciate somebody taking my name and just doing something with it as a nickname.
Yeah, I think that there is fairness that people need to be, especially if they care about you, they need to be aware of how you feel about that, because for exactly the reasons that you're saying, you know, what's the association of that? I know I've heard some people who are like, oh God, you know, don't call me Tommy. That was the name I was called when I was 5 and I can't stand it. So please, you know, and that's fair. Yeah.
And we kind of talked about this with you. I don't know if it was, I don't think we were recording, but I was asking you if you ever go by Jude, and you were saying, you know, that's something you use in your family or something like that.
Yeah. So, no, we did talk about that actually on the podcast. Yeah.
I lose track anymore.
I know. Well, I know. I hear you. Well, it's a name that not a lot of people call me Jude, but people who do, it's usually people who are friends and familiar. And I kind of take it as an appreciated thing. Like it is that drawing closer. It's that recognizing that. And I know some people it's more habit to just shorten your name, but it usually comes with some positive connection.
I like Jude. I think Jude is a really cool, it's one of those names that just really sticks out. You know, it's kind of for a woman, especially, I think Jude, because Jude Law, you know, you think of the guys with the name.
Right.
Jude,
yeah.
It's one of those names that can go either way. But for a woman, I think it's a really classy standoff name. I would call you Jude all the time if I felt like I was close enough to you to be able to do that. But I would never assert myself to say, hey, I'm going to call you Jude from now on, you know?
Well, so, and then that's a funny thing, because
sort of invited to do that.
How do you, yeah. And how do you invite somebody to do that? Because you are familiar and friend enough to me that would be completely fine, right? Like that would be, I would appreciate that. Like that would feel good to me. And it's, you know, it's funny because, yeah, my family certainly, I never, like, nobody at school, I don't think, ever called me Jude. My family did, and that was fine. Joel calls me Jude a lot. And what was fun is in the movie The Crying Game, which I should watch again, there's a character named Jude. And when I was in New York in like 1991 for a Boy George concert, for whom sang the song that was also the song for that movie, all of the people in New York that I met that were part of the Boy George crew all called me Jude with the accent they used in the movie. So that was kind of fun and really sweet. And I loved that. because that had that meaning, that had that that connected us meaning, which was very sweet. But yeah, so I know some people who have names that they can like choose three, they can be like four different names out of their name, and I'm like, how cool is that? You can only do a little bit with Judy, you know.
Well, it's still a pretty name, and it's associated with a lot of very, very beautiful women in history and stuff like that. So, you know, Judy Garland, and I'm trying to think of some of the other ones.
That Judy Dench.
Oh, yes. So,
yeah.
Really interesting.
I didn't know. I mean, there's not a lot of people with my name. Like, in my age bracket, nobody. I never run into another Judy. Like, it's a rare thing to run into, you know? So, yeah. You know, it's interesting. I'm surprised it's because I was always about nicknames, you know, wanting a genuine nickname. The D, like I never like had everybody call me D or something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, I just think it's funny that I know it's a familiarity thing, but when it comes to like intimacy and when it comes to relationships and stuff, I think it's one of those places where we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, to allow somebody to step into our bubble and call us something outside of what we're used to, mm-hmm. and to allow it to have a special meaning just between the two of you. You know, there's... you know, when we're talking about like our mannerisms or our quirks or hobbies and different things that we do, you know, like maybe somebody bowls a lot, or perhaps they play bingo all the time, so you call them Bingo, or, you know, hey, Bingo, you know, like there. I could come up with a lot of different names over time for, you know, but do you have permission to do that?
Right.
Using matching couple nicknames like Romeo and Juliet or other standard couples, you know, couples that are out there. That's kind of, you know, like, gosh, I used to be called Madam Secretary. I used to be called because I look a lot like Taya Leone. Mm-hmm. I used to get called Jersey all the time because of from being from New Jersey.
I like that. I think it's kind of cute. I don't know if you liked it, but...
Yeah, no, it's fun. I don't mind it at all. It's just a matter of who's saying it, though.
Yes, like, absolutely.
One particular person could say it, and it could make my skin crawl. But if it's somebody that I really care about, and it's endearing, and I just want to, like, curl up next to them and be like, oh, that was sweet. That's something totally different. Mm-hmm. But we still haven't answered when's the appropriate time to start using...
No.
Okay. So there's different, I think there's different degrees of pet names. So we go from the babe, hun, you know, the standards, deer,
deer,
love, you know, that sort of honey.
Yeah.
They're pretty common, you know. But when do you start using something different?
Yeah.
When is it okay?
Yeah. Well, and I'm thinking it's probably a really personal question, right? Yeah. It mm-hmm. really, and it probably comes into how did it come about? Like I think of in, Eat, Pray, Love,
yeah.
The guy who called, Julia Roberts' character groceries.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cute.
And I loved that so much. I thought that was really sweet. Now again, if she were to like, dude, don't call me groceries, not okay. Like then, right. Okay, then it's no fun anymore. But yeah. And how many of those names they come very authentically, you know, I mean, that's, I think the fun of them is that they come authentically. So it's kind of like, it's more about the authentic versus the forced.
Right.
So if something happens on your first date, just say, when we talk about couples, and you latch on to it, then maybe it makes sense because it came about organically. But I don't know. I'm betting there are people who maybe in their mind kind of do have a time frame. You don't get to start calling me something else until, you know, until this time frame, kind of when things are this comfortable in our relationship.
Yeah, right. Like if you're holding hands, like that's another thing. I mean, like, Is it that you start using terms of affection and then you start holding hands in public or touching each other in public? I mean, we have all these rules and stuff we put around ourselves mm-hmm. that I just, because of society, because who says what's okay and what's not. Oh my gosh. I just found online nicknames for girls that start with A and it goes through the entire freaking alphabet.
Oh, wow.
So, but there isn't, I wonder if there's one for guys too, probably.
Let me go for like the actual, for people or for that are like endearing?
Well, like here's to call somebody adorable or mine. I've been referred to as mine before. I find that very, very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, you know, like a possessive. Amante, which means lover or secret lover. Amazon, anchor, angel, angel boobs, angel eyes, angel face. Angus. I don't know if I would want to be called Angus because that refers to a breed of cow.
Yeah.
But this says it's a girlfriend with an enticing aura.
Oh.
Ankle biter for a girl who's too clingy. Apple of my eye. Ashkim, which is a Turkish term, which means spiritual love. And then it goes into B, which is babe, babs, babette, babushka, baby, baby angel, baby bear, baby boo, baby bugaboo, baby cakes, baby cheeks, baby doll, baby face, baby girl. Oh my gosh, it goes on and on and on. Baby everything. Bay, which I always found the most interesting because it's really just babe without the B. They're too many people say babe.
Yeah, right. So it's so hard, babe, right?
Right. Bambi, banana, a girl that bruises easily. What?
Where
some people come up with these? Beagle, a calm and intelligent girlfriend.
Oh my God. Wow.
So, I mean, the internet is just an incredible place to just kind of research. There's lots of stuff here, lots and lots and lots, and we're just to the bees. So,
well, I did find
blondie, blue eyes, bonbon. I don't know. This is crazy. You found a man's
I did.
One?
I found a list for guys that's not in alphabetical order, weirdly enough. We used to have this guy in my home ec class that we called Muffin.
Stud Muffin.
We didn't call him Stud Muffin. He made really good muffins, so he got called Muffin.
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 That's cute. That's
it was
super
actually.
Cute.
It was.
What else is on your list?
On the guys list, we have Cutie, which is not very creative, but that's all right. Hot Stuff Panda. Of course,
Panda.
Romeo. Yeah.
Where would panda come from?
Panda. It is for kind and calm guys.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Panda.
Okay. Beloved, the boyfriend is the only man in your life. So if she won't call you beloved, maybe you better ask asking some questions.
Interesting.
Let's see. Sexy. Teddy bear. Champion. He's always number one anywhere. Cowboy.
Oh, cowboy, that's cute.
My all, that's sweet. If you can't imagine your life without him. Handsome, Hercules. Kissy face, call him smile. That would feel weird to me, but that's nice if it works. Sweet tooth, if he can't live without candies. I don't know, that could be derogatory too.
I don't know. I'm getting here. This is Cadillac, a name for a girl that's classy and stylish. I have a Cadillac. I kind of like that. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Being called by your car name. So minivan. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Honda, get over here.
Honda. Come on, let me start you up, Honda.
Oh, well, that could actually be kind of fun. I could work with that. Playboy, the meaning they put assigned to this is Playboy is the boyfriend is beautiful inside and out. And if some girl called her boyfriend Playboy, that would not be what I would think of.
No, me either. I would think of a player.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If she called, oh, he's my Playboy, I'd be like, oh, okay, that's all right. If it works for you, rock on, sweetie. It's all right.
As long as everybody's... many of these on this list are so, like, I would be so mad. Like Chubby Bunny, Chubby
Cheek. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Chunky Bunny. Oh my gosh, I would deck a man. Holy hell, if he called me. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that would be a relationship on the way out.
Oh my goodness, this cupcake is cute sometimes. Curls, curly Q, bunny, cute bunny, cutesy pie. Oh my gosh.
Cutesy pie.
Cutesy pie. Dashing, deer, destiny, dewdrop, dewdrop.
Dewdrop.
Yeah. Doodles, drama queen. You call me a drama queen. Yeah, that's great. That says a lot.
Yeah, that's also that ends up being a discussion, not a nickname.
Yeah, right. Right. So and this is funny because you really do need to know your partner enough to know whether the words how words affect them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
That's a good caution, you know, to just kind of know how plugged in they are to their to language, period. Like, is the stuff a trigger? Is it a button? Are you picking at somebody by saying something? Is it a passive aggressive sort of dig? Because that can build resentment and bitterness. That's not a good way to be encouraging, and it's not a good way to encourage your relationship. It's actually more of a disintegrating action, you know?
Yes. Well, right. It is. And that's the thing. I mean, when I see that, when I see somebody kind of poking their partner with that kind of nickname, or they know they don't like it, or I have, this is a long time ago, but I remember having a conversation with a woman that I worked with who her boyfriend's nickname for her, she hated. And it was a long-term relationship. And I'm like, he would call her that. And she's like, yeah, I absolutely hate it when he calls me that. I'm like, well, does he do it to piss you off? No, that's what he called me all the time. And I'm like, so every time he calls you, he talks to you, you get annoyed. Like, how is this good for the relationship? And I don't know what conversations they totally had about that. I think she had said she had mentioned that she didn't really like it, but that he used it anyway. So I'm kind of like, okay, that's concerning.
Yeah. Wow. I don't know that I really helped my daughter with this conversation, it's funny because I guess it really does come down to what it means to you and what it means to them, whether it's, it can be something that ends up making you feel like it's more than it is, you know, you're attaching to an outcome.
Mm.
And we've talked about that a lot in the past episodes on the podcast, is trying to detach from the outcome and being present in the moment. What do these little phrases, what do these little nicknames, what kind of impact do they have on you in relation to the relationship?
Right. Well, right. Because for somebody, a nickname might be a no big deal. And for another person, it is a very meaningful, like a wedding band, right?
It's
a real enduring, really. Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, yeah, I don't know how you have that conversation well so that everybody is kind of on the same page.
But yeah, and I don't know that it's so strange because it's not really one of those things that we have conversations about.
It just kind of happens.
Mm-hmm. And then is it accepted graciously, or is it a problem, or is it a dig, or is it, you know, what exactly is it? And does it have to hold weight, or is it meant to hold weight?
Right.
Who knows? Who really knows? So,
well, so the question I have for your daughter's situation, is this something that she wants to call him to his face, or is this something she wants to refer? Is it a term of endearment she wants to refer to him when he's not around?
Okay. I don't think he listens to my podcast. So, and I don't know that anybody knows who my daughter is. So she doesn't really care for his first name.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I don't know.
So
she'd like to come up with something different to call him.
Okay. Okay. I got it.
But she doesn't want it to be too heavy because they're just casually dating.
Right. Okay.
And they've been dating now for a little
a little while, a couple of months. So it would be appropriate instead of just being like, hey, she wants to call him more than hey, like when she's texting or whatever. You know, there's other words in the vocabulary that could be used, like you. Hey, you.
Hey,
or, you. Mm. What's up? Or whatever. Yeah. So I'm That's just funny. Trying to explore it myself yeah. because it came up in the conversation. And I was, you know, it really made me think and kind of go back, like I said, to some of my past experiences and what these pet names mean to me. And I find them very endearing. And like I said, I enjoy them very much. Does that always mean that the partner that I have these cutesy little names for appreciate them as much as I do? I don't know. I really don't know. So,
right.
You know, I'm really kind of stuck on this big spoon, little spoon thing. I really, really like that a lot because the little spoon is inside the big spoon, or both spoons are actually the same size, but usually one spoon is the big spoon and one's the little spoon.
Right. Or like even if
the inside or the outside, you know, whatever. Right.
So even if they're the same size spoon, they still nest within each other.
Right. Right. Yeah. So I find that really cute. And I was even looking, I was at a store looking at Valentine's cards, and I came across a card that had two spoons on the front. And I'm like, holy fuck, this is really a thing. Like I was taken back by it because I thought it was so damn cute. And then I saw it and I'm like, holy hell, this is really funny. So, and it just kind of went in line with talking about pet names. So I just thought it, what a great topic to talk about. Light.
Yeah.
It's light.
It is a, like, it's one of those things that you, do we think about these things too much, or do we sometimes not think about them not enough? Both, I think, are true. And some of yeah. it is just being aware of your partner's body language, or if your partner says, and maybe if your partner, maybe if somebody starts giving you a nickname that you're not comfortable with, find a time after it, once, if it feels like it's going to start to stick, that feels non-abrasive, that you can say, hey, that you can say, I don't love that as much as you do.
Yeah.
And it bothers right. me, and this is why. And then hopefully, again, you know, the next thing that they do, if they continue to use it, maybe it starts to tell you either how they feel about you or whatever. And I know some people, I mean, you just have different opinions about things, like whatever, it's just a word, whatever, but it's not how words work. So yeah, that's very interesting. It is funny because I'm looking through this list of names and I'm like, yeah, no, I haven't really used this. I love Muffin. I have used in a jokey way, but it's probably the one on here that I haven't used to any serious degree for any particular person, but I yeah. have used it in a jokey way. Meaning, the underlying meaning, I mean it as a compliment. I mean yeah. it as an appreciation for what they bring to our relationship, but it's not like something I would call them, you know, in the middle of the grocery store loudly. So
there you go. There you go. Oh boy. So we covered a bunch of stuff. I don't know that I'd be calling people Jelly Bear or Jelly Boo or maybe Jewel. Jewel's a pretty one. And Juicy, Juicy Lips, Chewy. Katniss. I mean, I guess a lot of it depends on what they do, what they're into. Kitten, yeah. Kitten's cute. You know, what's age appropriate? Am I a kitten at this part of my life, or would I be the cougar? You know,
or in tigress. That moment when they call it to you, right? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Where are you at in your, what does the term mean in that moment? Right? Like maybe there are times when you being a more dominant person, less so, but maybe there yeah. are times that it might be appropriate and kind of cute and fitting in the moment.
To just be a kitten. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
But well, it has to feel organic. It has to feel really organic does. From the other person, or it just feels weird.
Yeah. I'd say so too.
Yeah.
I would love for our listeners to comment some of their favorites.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
it doesn't, you don't have to get all kinds of crazy about an explanation or anything.
Right.
If you just go to the comments and type in one word, two words, whatever, and just add in some of your favorite pet names, endearing names, or you know, different names that you've used over your lifetime or whatever, I would be very curious to see what they are, if we have repeats, you know, stuff like that. So
right. Yeah, that would be fun.
I'd love for our listeners to engage that way if they're beyond, if they're able to type in something versus just listen. So
right. And do you have just another kind of funny thing when I'm thinking about that, are the pet names for something that you use only in the bedroom or only in your house or only when you're happy and you're really trying to be in, you know, show affection, or you, do you have nicknames that you use when you're at the coffee shop to get your drink ordered and you know, and that's it. I don't know. I'm always interested in how people use names just because names are so much fun.
Yeah, they really, really are.
And I've never been the person to go up, you know, when you order your drink at the coffee shop and give them something completely different. I had a friend whose last name was challenging. So she would always, if she'd ordered pizza, she just ordered it under Smith because it was so much easier than her last name.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get caught if I do that. Like somehow it's a bad thing and I'm being inauthentic. So I don't do that.
Or you can just be silly. I mean, like, why does everything have to be so serious?
Right.
You know?
That's a good question.
Go into the coffee shop and when they ask you your name, just say goddess.
Right, right. It.
Goddess, here's your coffee. Here's your mocha latte, whatever.
Oh, yeah. God.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh. I have a story. So I went to the Tortuga Twins. I don't know if you're familiar with the Tortuga Twins.
No. Uh-oh.
They are an act that travel the U.S. I don't know if they're still performing or not, but they used to, and they always performed at the Renaissance Festival in Minnesota. And they're three gay guys who are the Tortuga Twins. And they're just delightful. Well, I bought one of their DVDs, and then you could stand around, and they would come over and sign it. So they took... there was three people. So, right, they're passing around your DVD case as well with other people's. And I'm trying to remember, I think they put on mine, I think they signed it Sexy Mama or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Uh-huh.
I think it was actually better than Sexy Mama. But so the guy, they all three get done signing it. And so the guy holds it up and goes, "Who's Sexy Mama?" And I'm like, instantly went, "It's mine." And he's like, "You own it, girl." And it was like,
that's great.
It was just very funny. I don't know. I'll always remember that. Go Tortuga Twins.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it is a much more robust and interesting conversation than one could quite usually imagine.
Yeah. So I think we hit that topic pretty good, wouldn't
Boom.
You?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think
I think we covered a lot of aspects of pet names.
Yeah. A lot of things to just be thankful about. Somebody who uses names like sort of randomly, maybe it just gives them pause to think if people are reacting badly or feeling uncomfortable or something, that they can maybe be more mindful if something else. But
or yeah. If they're just using it out of habit and they're not being intentional about it, if it's just, maybe it's just background noise. I much prefer a pet name or a nickname to be a thought-provoking, meaningful connection, mm-hmm. versus just a word that you use in place of a name. So that's what I would, you know, encourage. And of course, the pet names for our privates and stuff like that, that's all, that can be private information. It doesn't necessarily have to be secret, of course. Introductions are always nice when you meet somebody new to introduce them to. It's a nice way for you to bring attention to your body and be like, "Lola wants this." You know, Lola likes, if you don't like sounding like "I want," make it more about your, yeah. You know, you can give it kind of an autonomy. Like,
right. So. No, I can make sense of that. If somebody is really uncomfortable or needs to, I see it as a stepping stone of de-association to re-associate.
Right, right. And acceptance. And it's an acceptance of a piece of your body through Zoom out. It's zooming out and not taking it so personally. So it's a really good tool to do it that way. In my book, Crossing the River Called Suffering, that's my story. And in my story, I created my alter ego, which was Queen Bee. And Queen Bee did a lot of things that Patty wouldn't do, you know? So that's kind of, that gave me the bravery to step into a lot of things. And then after that, you know, when I finished that book, my new book that's coming out soon is called Embrace Your Sexual Energy. There's a whole chapter about giving yourself permission to have an alter ego so that you can zoom out and not take things so personally.
Right. Beyonce does it.
Yes, she does. So does Lady Gaga. So mm-hmm. does, there's a whole bunch of people that do
it. I wish that I would have found the permission for that when I was a teenager. I think yeah. if I could have done that, I think my life would be radically different. I remember seeing Sia. I love Sia uh-huh. for the first yeah. time. And I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that was an option. If I could have figured that one out and had the bravery to do that. It's an interesting thing in that when I think of how much I tried to pass and fit in as a kid, what they're doing, not so much the Lady Gaga and the Beyonce, the alter ego to go out and do what they do, which is something that I admire and would love to learn how to do for myself. But like Sia and Natalie Merchant of 10,000 yeah. Maniacs, like when she mm-hmm. started performing, she performed with her back to the audience. And I also saw that. I'm like, oh my God, to me, it takes so much guts to do that.
Yeah.
That more than it does to be face forward. So, but I'm like, but if that's how she found her space, and I'm like, man, if I could have done something like that, because I'm like, oh my God, if I could perform with my back to the audience, I could sing all day long and it would be much easier. But at the same time, I'm like, but I would feel so awkward. Like, I always thought I wanted a dark theater. Give me a dark theater and then let me sing my songs and we'll be good. But so it's an interesting thing how we personally process how we get through life, right? Like if you can allow yourself the alter ego, you and I have to, we should have a conversation about that on the podcast or off, because I love that. And I love that from a writer's perspective. Like I can mm-hmm. do that a little more in writing of being here's, this is over here. So it's so interesting. And when I'm thinking about you talking about Lola Wants, right? And I'm also thinking, what a great tool for people who are trying to come into their space sexually together when they don't know how to communicate well. Now, some people, they're going to feel that's going to feel weird. Using a third person is going to feel weird.
Yeah.
Other people are going to be able to like, okay, I can wrap my head around that. And then the, you know, say it's a heterosexual couple for whatever reason. But if he says, I like this about Lola, she might be able to accept the compliment even better.
Yeah.
To no ask kidding. About Lola or to whatever. You know,
what else do you like about Lola?
Yeah.
What do you like to do to Lola?
Right. And yeah.
How does Lola make you feel?
Right.
You know?
It can be a really powerful tool if somebody can get into that headspace. It's just another way to say, how do we learn to communicate with each other? I mean, I'm in my head, this is people who have been together for a long time and they're trying to reignite their relationship and they're trying to reconnect and come together better as a sexual couple, yeah. but maybe it's something they haven't done well before. Very interesting.
Yeah. Right. So why don't you talk about your other podcast.
Yeah. So people can find the other stuff that I do at my podcast, which is Wellness Renaissance Podcast. It's a health and wellness weekly podcast that can be found at wellnessrenpodcast.com or if you're on a device or you have a podcast listening platform, Wellness Renaissance Podcast. So I talk on my podcast, we talk about all different health and wellness stuff.
All different stuff, right?
You've been a guest on my podcast. So if you're on there and you're looking for somebody, there's a little search thing in the right corner. So you can look for Patricia. If you search her name, that will pop up. I had Emily.
That's how it all began, right?
It is how it all began. Exactly. Yes. The origins of this right here is all the way back there. Yeah. So sex is something that comes up in conversations and just, you know, relationship stuff too. So go check it out, please.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
And you can be.
I am all over the place.
You are all over the place. Yes.
I have a website, patriciaengelking.com. That's PatriciaEngelking.com. You can find it, I'm sure, somewhere in the Sex Matters period links. Yes. I am an author, so I've written and published one book already. That link is usually in the comments or the somewhere in the page too. And you can find that through the Sex Matters podcast, which has a button that gives us a little bit of support through purchasing it through our podcast.
Yes.
So if you want to look for my book on Amazon, please use our link through the Sex Matters period website so that we can get just a little bit of a kickback for that. It's not much, but every little bit helps.
Absolutely.
My second book will be coming out shortly. That's the one I was talking about. It's called Embrace Your Sexual Energy. And that is more of a do-it-yourself transformation book with pages for thought and asking deep questions where you can do it in the privacy of your own home, keeping things private versus secret. Again, it's a really big deal in regards to your sexual authenticity. So if you're not comfortable talking to somebody about your sexuality, you still should be looking and probing at some of these questions you need to ask yourself around your sexual authenticity. So it's a beautiful tool to help change the world's relationship with sex. So
I'm excited for that to come out. That's going to be
I
fun.
Am too. I am so stoked. I am also an artist here in Minneapolis, and I'm also looking at a gallery that will be putting on my art, putting up my art in the spring. So that's not firmed up yet, but that's in the works. And what else do I do? Oh, I do this. And I host women's groups through the Bondesk. It's a store, high fashion latex and PVC and sex toys and stuff. Here on Lake Street in Minneapolis here. And I hold classes there as well.
And so if somebody comes to Minneapolis on a trip, they should go to check out Bondesk. And then around the corner is
Mitten Kitten. Or if they need stripper heels, there's also Unveiled.
Oh, wow.
And we have our other adult store in town called Lickety Split. They're all very supportive of us here on the podcast and in educating people around the normalcy of sex. So
nice. Wow. Yeah. I should try some of them on. That would be now there's a video we should have. We should go take
trying on all the different
right clothes. Oh, you me and heels fun. Is a horrible thing, but I like heels. I think they're very pretty, but I can't stand in them to save my life. So that'd be fun to do.
I'll give you a tip with stripper heels is that you want the little ankle wrap, you want the little brace, the support of the strap that goes around your ankle.
That makes a lot of sense.
And when you buy them, if you buy them platformed, it's just like wearing a regular high heel shoe. It's just taller. So it's not putting your foot at such an angle where you're off balance.
Mm. Yeah, platforms would probably be more my gig, actually. They look a little chunky to me, but
They look sexy as hell. So
that's all that matters.
That's right.
I knew a woman who had, she said she had a ton of high heeled shoes, and she said, and none of them ever leave the bedroom.
That's cute. That's really cute. For hilarious. That's a Minnesota term right there.
I didn't know that until I used to say for funny or for cute and for fun. I think, what did I say now? Oh God, it comes off my tongue when I'm not thinking about it. For fun. I used to say for fun.
Yeah.
And my friend drove up from the Twin Cities And she said, oh my God, I thought for fun was just a Judaism. And she's like, there's a billboard for the zoo that says for fun. But I would always say, you know, instead of, I was like, oh, for fun, right? So it came off not for, more fur. She's like, I thought that was a you thing. I didn't realize that was like a phrase up here.
Wow. Jeez, that's funny.
Yes. Another thing, when you go to the sexmatterspodcast.com website, not only can you sign up for our email, you can also send us questions. We love when you send us questions.
Please send us questions.
Yes, we love it. We love hearing about what you guys are interested or what you're thinking about or what you want to know. Those are like awesome. And the other thing you can do that is so huge and lets us know that you love the work we're doing is become a Patreon subscriber, being part of the Sex Matters community. And the way you do that is going on the website, the sexmatterspodcast.com website. And on the right side, you'll see a big red button that says become a patron. And you click into that. And it's just kind of, think of it like NPR, except that for us, we don't have an NPR supporting us. So it's you guys, and we need you, and we love you. So,
and I think it's important for people to know that it's not a huge commitment, you know.
Right.
And with automatic payments and stuff, it can be really, really painless and not an added stress to your monthly bills or anything. You just kind of type it in if you can handle $1, if you can handle $10, whatever, and you just kind of put it, set it and forget it. We would be so, so thankful, because Patreon is our way of just kind of getting back a little bit of for what we're putting out. And we have the opportunity to share extra tidbits with our Patreon supporters. How do you call it? You call it a wall, right?
Well, when we're talking about it, we talk about it being behind the Patreon or behind the paywall, but it's one of those things that you get being a part of Patreon as being a supporter. We want to give you extra things to say, hey, thank you for doing that.
Yeah. And,
yes. Yeah.
I have some really crazy ideas, because, you know, Patreon allows you to be expressive as artists behind the wall.
Yes, that's true.
It's considered an art platform, and the things that are done behind the wall can be as explicit or as vanilla or as fun or as whatever you want to do, you can do behind the wall.
Right.
You know, we still have to be somewhat PC, you know, in the podcast itself, but behind the wall, we can get wild and crazy.
This is true. This is true.
I'm thinking that I'm going to absolutely do a video on giving blowjobs, mm-hmm. or maybe we'll go do trying on the heels and put some of our video things behind the wall. That would be really, really good.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I love that.
But we need supporters.
Before
we go crazy putting stuff behind a wall for nobody, we want to know that you guys are listening. So hit that red button and just become a patron of our little podcast and help us to grow and change the world's relationship with sex.
Absolutely. Yes.
Because sex matters, right?
Sex matters. Period.
Period.
All right. Until next time, everyone.
Okay. Goodbye.
Just a couple of things before I let you go. I did put a link to all of the stores that we talked about at the end in the show notes. You can also find a link to the podcast and the Patreon site in the show notes as well. I realized while I was editing that I didn't explain who Sia was. Sia, the singer, who has a wig that typically covers her face down to her mouth. If you're not familiar with Sia, I took the liberty of throwing a link in the show notes to the Carpool Karaoke episode. I'm a huge fan of Carpool Karaoke. It's one of those things that guaranteedly pretty much can always either cheer me up or give me a little energy when I'm needing a boost. So check it out. Check out what she does with a dozen eggs as well. It's kind of freaky. All right, you guys, thank you so much for listening. Take good care of yourself. And remember, by taking good care of yourself and isolating and being careful to wash your hands and stay away from other people, you take care of who knows how many other folks. Remember, this is not the best time to be hooking up with new people, though coronavirus is not a sexually transmitted disease. It can be transmitted sexually, or kissing, or inhaling each other's stuff. So, just because somebody doesn't have symptoms doesn't mean they don't have corona. So be careful. All right, enough motherly preaching. I don't know if it's motherly or if it's the health educator side of me, or just the not wanting to see people get sick needlessly from something they could have easily prevented but just didn't think about in the moment. All right, see you next time.